We greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we welcome you to this Words of Life program. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who pray and contribute each week for this program to be available to you. Our speaker, Brother David Johnson, will present his sermon on the topic of the words used to Abram in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. God said, "I am God Almighty." We now worship our Lord with song. Please pray with me. Lord, we honor you, Almighty God, and we thank you for loving us and giving Jesus for our salvation. We also praise you for the way that you bless each of us and you sustain us each day. Be with each of our listeners and grant them health, peace, and a right spiritual relationship with you. Persecuted Christians always need your special care and strength. And Lord, please help us to be ready for the promised return when Jesus comes for his church. And thank you for hearing us and allowing us to call you Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, Brother David Johnson will present the words of Genesis 17, 1 and 2, where God said, "I am God Almighty."
It's good to be together again as we look in to the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, "I am God Almighty." And our text is taken from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Please listen to the Word of God. "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers.'" This is the Word of God. Many years ago, I met a most fascinating person. She was working in her beautifully laid out yard of fruit trees, flowers, and vegetable garden. I complimented her on her Eden-like garden. She volunteered that she worked on it every morning and every evening when it was cooler. She also stated she was 91 years of age. I asked her what was the main reason for her long and obviously healthy life. She said, "I eat mostly vegetables, fresh and canned from my garden, and also potatoes that I also grow and fry. Potatoes are the perfect food," she said. Then she added, "I have never been in a hospital. I was born right here in this house, and I am rarely sick." Then she grinned widely and said, "The only thing that bothered me was my teeth. So I had them all plucked out at the same time to get rid of them, 'cause they hurt." But all of that was not the most fascinating thing about this dear woman. I asked her what her name was. She kind of quietly said, "True." I said, "True?" She said, "Yes, True, which is actually my middle name that I use. My first name is Not." "So your name is Not True? How did you get names like that?" And she quietly said, "My father wanted a son. After he found out I wasn't, he said, 'Not True. That's her name. It's on my birth certificate.'" I declined to ask her what her last name was. In modern Western culture, personal names are little more than usually labels that sound good to distinguish one person from another. The pride often associated with having or giving a certain family name and the common use of character nicknames, however, are pale reflections of earlier periods of human history, notably biblical times, in which a person's name had a much, much deeper significance. Moreover, the names and titles of God Himself carry great significance. God's person, presence, and personality, none of which can be fully comprehended by the human mind, are all concentrated in His name. The coupling of God and His name brought intense reverence for it in Israel. This is verified by, for example, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, which says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name." This commandment of God still holds true today. To use God's name as to bring disrespect to His character or deeds, His person, is to misuse His name. This is serious sin. To use God's name casually or coarsely is an affront toward God Himself. It's interesting that one of the very earliest descriptions of Christians is as revealed in Acts chapter 9 and verse 21 that says in part, "Among those who call on this name," meaning here Jesus Christ, because in this context, calling on His name testified to a personal and saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God Himself is known where His name is made known. The revelation of the name of God stands at the center of the biblical testimony about God. Consider, for example, Psalm 9 and verse 10. "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Consider also Psalm 91 and verse 14 that reveals, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." Many today disrespect the name of God, thinking, what does a name matter? Suppose someone abuses the name of your mother or father, son or daughter, wife or husband. Would that not offend you? How much more is the offense against God, our Creator, the Creator of the universe? In the Old Testament, God's acts not only revealed His holy character, but also often marked Him by a particular divine name or title. Bible scholars have identified at least 20 different names of God just in the Old Testament. As we review just a few, let us consider this an exercise of reverent worship, of revering the living God by His name. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13 through 15, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is His name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.' This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. A very hesitant Moses was concerned that the Israelites would ask for God's name as a validation that Moses was indeed sent by the God of their forefathers. That name, anglicized, is Jehovah or Yahweh, or translated in the King James Version as Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Yahweh is the Hebrew form of Jehovah. This name of God is the most frequently used in the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. It basically means the self-existent one. This is God's personal and proper name. The true Hebrew pronunciation of this name, by which God was known to the Hebrews, has been entirely lost, because the Jews themselves scrupulously avoided every mention of it, and instead substituted one or the other words because this name was too holy to say aloud. Quite a contrast to most people's handling of the name of God today. Consider Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty." The Hebrew is El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. By application today, we also are to walk with God and strive to be blameless. That is, that by the way we live, we are not subject to accusations of immorality or godlessness. That includes to always use His name properly, the name of God, and with reverence. Consider the book of Joshua, chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? Here, in the original Hebrew language, Lord is actually Adonai, which means master or Lord. Adonai was the name for God instead of Yahweh, because the proper name of God was too sacred to pronounce. These examples, namely Yahweh, Adonai, and El Shaddai, give us a sense of the holiness of the name of God. Jesus stated, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name." Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us always remember to hallow the name of God, to keep it holy, holy, holy. Consider this illustration. Mark Cuban, a Indiana University graduate and owner of the National Basketball Association, or NBA's Dallas Mavericks basketball team, professional basketball team, offered a Chicago, Illinois, in the United States, radio sports talk host $50,000 to change his name legally to Dallas Maverick. The radio personality declined. So Mark Cuban, the owner of this professional basketball team, upped the offer. He said he'd pay this radio personality $100,000 and donate another $100,000 to the sports personality's favorite charity if he would take the name Dallas Maverick, at least for 1 year. After some soul-searching and a predictable bombardment from his listeners, who said he was crazy to turn down the money, he still declined the offer. He declared that, quote, "My name is my birthright. I'd like to preserve my integrity and credibility," end quote. When we are born again in Christ, our birthright name is Christian, that is, follower of Christ. We belong to Christ. We have a responsibility to live in a way that brings honor to His name, to the name that we wear as Christian. How important is a name? Consider in the New Testament, the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, which says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." May we always be true to the name above every name, Lord, as we worship Him and honor His name, not only verbally, but actively in our lives as believers.
Come on.
Isn't it amazing that God Almighty loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son for our salvation, and for anyone who will come to Him in faith and obedience may receive that? In addition to believing, we need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. This is our great blessing from the Almighty God because He loves us. To receive a free CD of this program and next week's as well, simply ask for broadcast number 2001. That's 2001. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing.